Let's go to a few scriptures tonight. First, let's pray and thank God for giving us wisdom tonight. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you tonight for this teaching session. We praise you for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word will go boldly, accurately, and clearly. We pray that every heart will be a receptive heart, and we turn to you for these few moments to listen to your Word, and to plant that Word in our heart, and to water the Word that's already there, to help us to discern what you're saying to us, what you want us to do, what our next assignments are, and help us to be strong people so that we can walk through every kind of adversity in this life, whether it's a spiritual or physical adversity or even mental adversity. Thank you, Lord God, for the Word planted in our hearts will come out when it should come out, and that is during the time that the times of hard times come. We praise you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now, we've been studying about walking and believing in God. Next Sunday, if you're here next Sunday, I have a good message for you. And I know, like you like points, so I've made some nice points for you, so that when you come next week, you'll see some. I got a lesson next week: 7 common reasons why believers miss God's leading. So that's Sunday morning. However, that's subject to change. That's something to change, and I want to teach also how to listen to your heart. And last Sunday we tried to teach you a lesson on what do you do, how to find God's leading when you don't know what to do. I didn't do that. So I do have lessons. I've made lessons. So sometimes, for a reason, we kind of go prophetically, but we'll try not to do that. So Romans 8, the Bible says Romans 8 and 14. I'm going to go to this notes in a moment. Romans 8, 14 and 16. Let's go ahead and look at those verses of Scripture. Thank God for the Word. Everybody say, thank God for His Word. Say, I love the Word of God. So let's go look at this, the Scripture up here on the screen. It says, let's go ahead, 1, 2, 3. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One more time. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. One more time. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that word is telling us that every believer ought to be led by God spiritually. God is not going to lead you through signs. He's not going to lead you through prophets. He's not going to lead you through other believers. He's not going to tell other believers what you should do about your life, what you should do about your sickness, you should do about your disease. Many times people get words of knowledge or at least words, understanding about what's going on in a person's life. That doesn't mean that you have to go and tell that person. The only time you can tell a person is when God tells you, go and tell that person this. That's the only time. You can pick up things from the Spirit and know something about what's wrong in someone's life. That doesn't mean you have to tell them. You don't have to say anything, and you shouldn't say anything. So you should pray about it, because you can pick up things up from the Spirit. Just like you could pick up something when you go to someone's house, you can tell what's happening in that house. If it's happy or sad, if they're mad or suspicious or whatever, you can pick it up. Because you discern things spiritually. So it tells us that every one of us ought to be led. So I want to, in connection with that word, with that verse of Scripture, I want to ask you something. What do you do when you have a bad report? The doctor tells you you're very sick, you have this cancer, you could be dead in 12 months or 6 months. What are you going to do? And so, you know, when your banker says, you know, your overdraft or somehow something's going on here with your account, you've overspended and things are going on financially, and you got laid off. What are you gonna do? Call Ghostbusters? No. You're gonna do something. You know, what are you gonna do when someone says, you know, they're into this kind of trouble. Somebody that you love is into some kind of mess. and they're close to you, what are you going to do about it? Because there's going to be times in your life where you're going to run into difficulties. So you have to know what to do. What does God want you to do? You don't have a scripture and verse to go to what doctor, or you don't have a scripture and verse about how to make yourself strong or whatever it is in that moment. But you need to know exactly what to do. You have to know what to do, or else you'll be in worry. You'll get into depression. You'll fall into the devil's trap of getting into shock, a real bad shock and agony of whatever it is, agony of defeat, I guess. So, verse 16 says, of that same chapter, let's go to verse 16, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself, or himself, the correct translation, because the Spirit, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's not talking about your spirit, the Spirit himself. Let me tell you something about, we're in Bible school, how to, you know, you have to correctly identify certain things, because sometimes people will interpret when it says spirit, because there's different words that you have to translate the spirit. It could mean, it actually could sometimes refer to your soul. Sometimes it refers to your inner man, your born-again man. Sometimes it could refer to that. It could even refer to anger, a feeling of something. So you have to understand context. When you're reading scripture, you have to know what's happening before it and after it. So you have to see the whole context of what it's talking about, so you can interpret something. You don't need the Greek. A lot of times, just read. Read what's before it, right? Read what they're talking about. You'll find out. So, say, for instance, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, it talks about there's a struggle and a fight between the spirit and the flesh. He's not talking about Holy Spirit fighting with your flesh. He's talking about your spirit, man, which needs to be built up in the Word, can overcome the dictates of the flesh. Because sometimes you want to be angry, you want to say things, but your spirit says no, your heart constrains you, so you're stronger on the inside than you are with your emotions. So those are the things that we have to see. So it says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He bears witness with our spirit. So bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the number one thing about the Holy Spirit that we know when we're born again, he tells you that you're a child of God. People say, I know that I'm saved. So the same way he tells you you're a child of God is the same way he's going to lead you to other things. The same way he said, you're mine, you're my child. So this is the number one way he's going to show you for the rest of your life how to go about in life. And it takes a lot of buildup in your spirit. You have to get to the Word so that he can remind you of scriptures and bring that scriptures to you. When you read the Bible, he'll bring that back up to you when you need it. You have to understand that he's faithful. God is faithful, and when you're going through a crisis, your mind is going all kinds of ways. If you check on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit is going to say something to you. And a lot of times, people lose their head, get into their real bad emotional, you know, whatever, tailspin, and they get out of whack, and they start doing grasping for straws and asking everybody else and praying, asking everybody else to pray for them when they should stop for a while and get alone with God and find out. Remember, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. That means, you know, we can't trust that what we think about it, what we see, what we heard about what's going on in your life. You can't believe everybody's report, even though they tell you something that might be true, but God knows the truth about everything, even supersedes what will actually the outcome will be. Because if you just believe the actual report itself, that's the end of it, then you're done. For instance, people call me sometimes, listen, I've got a horrible disease, I got a cancer going on here, something like that. And he said, we've got these tests that said I got cancer and that, and I'm going through retesting again. And they're saying, could you just believe with me that God's word, you know, on the subject of healing? I said, sure, we can do that. I can agree with healing. I can agree that God will heal you, and he has done that already. But let's receive that, and let's see. They say, well, Pray that I'll receive a good report. Well, you see, it's not in my hands what they report, what they see. They have to report what they see. They have to report. The doctor will tell you, yeah, there is cancer right there. Yes, you do have a vertebrae problem. Yes, you have an ankle problem. Yes, you have a skin disease. That's the report they're going to give you. Is that where you're going to stop? So the Bible says we believe the report of God. Amen. Yes, we acknowledge there is a problem. Yes, we acknowledge there is a disease. But that's not the finality. We trust in God. So this is where we have to make a decisive decision. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's your finances. That's your with your children, with your marriage, with everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God, listen, take it all. And tell me what to do. And He'll tell you. He'll tell you to spend some time with me. Do we actually take the time to just listen to God, or do we always talk to Him all the time? Instead of just listen to God, I want to read your word, just listen to your response. And when you give me that, when that response comes from my spirit, am I going to act on it, or am I just going to just say, oh yeah, I got a word there, and act like it didn't even happen? James 1:22 says let us be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. King James says, deceiving ourselves. When you hear the word of God and don't act on it, you don't act like it's true. Don't act like the word of God is the word of God, and that's the final authority on your area of trouble. Then you're going to deceive yourself through your emotions and through your own thinking. And it says, delude yourself, I think one version says. So we have to be strong in the word. So being led of the Spirit of God in life always have to be, goes to the, back to the basis of the Word of God. We don't ask for signs to tell us what to do. We don't ask for somebody to come all the time and give us a sign and tell us, because most of the time it's not going to happen. Don't go looking for prophecies and asking people to prophesy. You know, they may not. Because you can do that. And people will delight in that. They'll tell you, oh, let's say the Lord. You will get $1,000 by next weekend. Next weekend comes by, it didn't come. Is that this year? What year was that? That prophecy coming. Okay. So, the question tonight is this. What report will you believe? That's the question. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says that, who had believed our report? This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus, the Messiah. And a lot of those people that he wrote, that he's talking to, they didn't believe about the Messiah. And he begins to say, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It's not what the Roman soldiers did to him that we got healed. It's what Jesus did, God did to Jesus on the cross. What we see on the cross with all the wounds is just a physical manifestation of what God actually really did in the spirit to him. The Bible says, as you read along in verse 10, that the Bible says that God made Jesus sick for us with all your sins. And so it's really what you believe and what you were brought up with first. If you grew up in a Lutheran church, you're not going to hear this. If you grew up in a Catholic church like I did, I didn't hear this. They didn't preach this to me. And, for whatever reason, maybe they did teach it, but I didn't hear it. Okay, maybe you too. We're not blaming them. We're not putting fingers on anybody. Just like sometimes in my First Nations community, and we all, they're blaming the government for everything. The sock is not working. Blame the government. I mean, everything. Like, we could blame everybody for every problem we have. So it's when we start saying, what am I supposed to do? So we have to look at ourselves. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, your peace comes from God. No matter what's going on in your life, peace was paid for you. No matter how horrible something's going on in life, God paid a price for that peace. I used to suffer from horrible anxieties. I would have to run to get rid of it until I was exhausted, and I would sweat and constantly be at unrest. My heart would be continually pulsing, year after year, day after day, and fearful all the time. I had sweaty palms, and my heart would be beating constantly. I would almost pass out, and I had headaches constantly. I was afraid of the night, afraid of the morning. And I don't know how that entered my life. It could have been when I was a little child and I got so afraid of being alone, left alone. Some said, my wife told me that she was locked in one of her friend's cousins locked her in a little suitcase and they couldn't get her out. And she said, I could have died. Yeah. Who's that person? And so she said, that's why I get claustrophobic today. I said, you're right. And so, anyway, so whose report, and this is a report that was given to us, that was given to them. Do you believe he died? And all this stuff, that thing there. The Holy Ghost gave me that last verse of scripture when I was suffering an anxiety attack. He said to me, did you know I died for your peace? I said, where did that come from? And ever since that day, I never had an anxiety attack the way I used to. Now, I've had some horrible ones. I had one when I was in Tulsa about how many years ago? Maybe 2 years ago. Had a terrible, terrible anxiety attack in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was in bed. I told my wife, you better call the doctor, call the ambulance, because I'm dying. That's how real it is. You ask my wife, 2 years ago, I'm laying in bed, getting ready to go to, woke up 6 o'clock in the morning. For some reason, that happened to me. Now, I had to fight that. The other horrible incident I had, the same thing happened to me in 1989, when we were in the University of Manitoba. I had a crippling anxiety attack. That's the two times that it was that severe. Other times I had those little ones, but those two ones was horrible. Jesus gave me a scripture in Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm, and he said, you confess this, take this pill, gospel pill. Take it regularly. And that is Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil. Everybody said it, I will fear no evil. Psalm 91, I think in verse 10 says that, I will fear no evil as well. He said, no fear. You should put that on your bumper sticker. No fear, no fear here. And God doesn't want us to ever avoid making tough decisions or any kind of decision because of fear. And so we'll have lots of chances to do that. And so here, he said, whose report will you believe? So what message will you believe? A good or bad message? A negative message or a positive message? I'm told, you can hear this, that bad news travels fast. People seem to line up to hear bad news. What if, as at the outset of this discussion tonight, is that what if you got a negative report from a doctor? So we think about these times, what if we get that knock on the door at night? What if we get that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning? What if the police officer shows up at your house at 4 a.m.? What if the doctor sends you the report? I mean, you have to make up your mind right now what you're going to do. You don't make that decision when you hear the report. You don't make that decision the day that happens in the doctor's office. It's up to you right now how you're going to react. If you wait till the bad news, you're waiting for trouble. You have to decide right now. Jesus said, you prepare in Matthew chapter 7, 28, and 24, 25, 26. He said, the storm will come to everyone in their life. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, whether you live right for God or whether you don't live right for God, storms are going to come to everyone. And it's up to us what we do. And what we do right now, our habits every day, our habits every morning, decides how you will survive and how you'll go through the trial and how long it'll take you to bounce back into a strong life. You determine that, not God. We put all the onus on God and how he's going to get you out of it. No, he told you that there's going to be trouble, so get planting the word in your heart. So that's what he's told us. I've been in so much mess in my life like that, that it was like it was almost too late. Who had believed our message, says Isaiah 53. There are many messages that go out every day. When it comes to speaking bad reports or speaking bad things, we relegate a negative report. The Bible says when you speak evil, when you learn to receive evil, and when you listen to that and you say it out loud as well, you say, oh, this is horrible. You know, when you look at it and you keep saying it, it's the Bible calls it evil. It's an evil report. The Bible says in Numbers 7, we won't read the whole thing, but in Numbers 17 to 20, the whole chapter, it says that Moses gave these men instructions to go and explore the land. So they went north to Negev, and they find out whether the people, what kind of people were there, weak or strong, what kind of conditions they live in, if it's a good fertile ground, if the walls are around their city is built up, or is it just like living living in open camps and so forth. And they brought samples. They said, bring back a sample of what you got there. And so they came back. The Bible says they came back with a negative report. God told them, you're going to take this land. This is what you're going to do. You're going to take this land, but I want you to look at this situation, and I want you to get yourself ready. So the Bible says that they came back with a negative report. They came back with a bad report. The Bible says they reported over back in Numbers 13, 25 to 33, the Bible says they had such a negative report, such an evil report, it began to affect the people who heard it. How many people know when someone tells you something, you could just almost feel that in you? How many of you explained that? You ever feel like the shock of the news, like you can feel that? And this made these people weak and tremble because of the shock and the fear. And God called that evil. They shouldn't have been saying that because God says you're going to take this land. You're going to win this battle. The Bible says in Numbers 14:36, New Living, the 10 men Moses has sent to explore the land, the ones who's incited rebellion against the Lord, with their bad report. Numbers 14:36 says that, the New Living. See, what you say is what you get. So we have to learn to follow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the witness. Even though you heard the report, listen on the inside of you and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I know what my head's telling me. I know what they're saying, but what are you saying on the inside? He's going to calm you down. And so the lady with the issue of blood, she had a bad report from many doctors, and she got exactly what she said. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 29. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said something. She heard of Jesus. Everybody say she heard of Jesus. What she heard, the kind of report she heard, she chose to believe what Isaiah said about Jesus, what Jesus said about himself in Luke chapter 4 and 18. He said, I'm here today I have a healing ministry and I can heal anybody that will come. Isaiah had to say what the prophet said about him. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Luke is writing this, and he says that Jesus began to quote what Isaiah said over there, what I just read you. So he said what Isaiah said, this is being fulfilled. Right now, I have a healing ministry. And every one of you have to do the same thing what Jesus did in front of all the people that are opposing you, your cousins, your family, your neighborhood, and your community. You have to stand up and say, this is what I believe. This is the report I believe. Amen. And you can't be shy about it. You cannot be afraid about that. You have to be strong. We listened to Norval Hayes yesterday. He said, you know, this is not going to work unless you're strong on it, unless you believe in it. Be dogged about it. And so thank God for that man. The Bible said when she touched Jesus' garment, she said that in verse 29, her body was healed. Verse 34, Jesus said, daughter, your faith had made you whole. We see the process of what she heard and she said, and she came, and she touched, and then she confessed. That's the process. And that's the same thing you're going to do. You're going to have to believe the report of what the Word says. You know, you're going to have to hear something. You're going to have to hear yourself reading the Bible to yourself, preach to yourself, prophesy to yourself, and say, this Word says it belongs to me, Lord. Thank you very much. You don't have nobody to preach to you. Just preach to yourself. Thank God. Preach to yourself. That's called prophesying to yourself when you're preaching to yourself. When you read the Word, you preach that to yourself. That's hearing the Word. That's meditating the Word. When you take the Bible, open it up, read a scripture, and you say, that belongs to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I say what the Word of God says. I'm healed. Devil, I want you to know that this is for me right now. I tell my body to be healed. I tell myself I'm okay. I don't care. I realize there's trouble there. I realize there's a disease in my body. But the Word of God says this. And we say it. And that's the way it works. You can't wait for a church service all the time. You can't wait for the special camp meeting. You got to do it yourself. Jesus said, be a doer of the Word and not only hearers. And so this is the darkest hour sometimes that happens to our lives. The Word of God says in Numbers that in verses Numbers 14, 35 to 45, the Word of God says what they said about their situation, they're going to get exactly what they confessed. And the Bible says those guys all died in the wilderness because they would not believe the report. Your report about God is the main thing. Psalm 91, 2 and 3 says, this I declare of the Lord. What are you declaring about the Lord? He says, He alone is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He is my God. I will trust in God. I will have faith in God, he said. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly diseases. He said, well, I believe some diseases, yeah. The flu is coming around. Does he know that there's flu coming around? Well, when the flu comes, just say, hey, the Word of God says, I'm well. Your temperature is 103. Thank God I'm well. That's what you have to do. It's exactly what you do. Your Bible says, yeah, the Word of God says, I'm healed. I remember when I was going on a trip, I got so ill, I thought I was going to die. I was throwing up. Everything is coming out of every part of my ears and nose and everywhere I can come out, and I'm sweating. And I'm supposed to get on a plane, get to the airport at 5 a.m. and fly out to somewhere. I'm looking at the toilet bowl and reading the serial numbers and throwing up. I said, thank God. And I got on that plane and I felt horrible. I was flying somewhere, it felt horrible. Getting there, when I got off the plane, they paraded me all over the reserve and made me pray for everybody all day. And at noon hour, they gave me click sandwiches. And when I got home, they sent everybody else to my house, to that place where I was going. Pray for people, counsel people. Had a meeting that night. Next morning, people come in to talk to me. John knows about that. He traveled with me to some of these places. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, let us tell of the glory. Let's make our own report about God. Let's tell about, you know, the Bible says in Acts 4 and 24, the Bible says as they, when they freed Peter there, the Bible says they, when they heard the report, they heard the bad report, they began to praise God. Acts 4, 24 to 29. If you read that in there, it says, they took Peter because he cast out a devil out of a woman. They threw him in jail, beat him up, put him in jail, and they let him out. After, they said to him, don't be talking to about Jesus anymore. And the Bible says Peter went there and reported all the things. When they heard that report, a bad report, they began to praise God. Oh, Lord, thank you. Aren't you God? You are the God. Aren't you the same God who freed Moses and those guys? That's what you and I should be saying. You're the same God. You're the same God that let Peter out of prison when he was thrown in prison and his chains fell off. He came out. That's a miracle. Aren't you the same God? And so they began to rehearse that. That's the report they began to say. They began to read the Old Testament and quote the Old Testament. Now, I'll quickly end this right now. I'll just tell you about a story there in 2 Chronicles 26, 9. A bad report came to a king, and he began to rehearse before God how great he is. And the Bible says that God sent power down to help them. We all fear no evil, any bad report. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 7, the last part of that verse says that when bad news comes, those righteous people will have no fear of bad news, of bad reports. They will not fear any bad news. Why? Because they know God's going to help them out. That's the word that we have to plant in our hearts all the time before anything bad happens. And that's our job. See, prayer is not going to work unless you got enough faith in you to grab a hold of that. When they say amen, and when you say amen, that settled it. Even though you go out and it's still over there, that problem. Even when you go out and you see the problem happening. Even when you leave that, when you say amen, the lump is still there. When you say amen, that settles it. And you act like it's go on your way, like it's true. Is that hard to do? You better believe it's hard to do. But it's still faith. Remember the guy in Mark 9? He brought his son to Jesus' disciples and said, my son has this devil. Help him. They tried something. It didn't happen. Jesus said, you're all unbelieving. Bring that boy over here. And he says, how long has this happened to this boy? He said, since he was a child. And it says, and the man says, Jesus, if you can do anything for us, help me. And Jesus said, what? If, that's what he said. If you read the context and read the several different other versions, you'll see Jesus said, what do you mean if? All things are possible to him who believes. If all things are possible to him who believes, whose report will you believe? Your Honor, I presented my case before you tonight. I'll ask my client here to be released from the troubles that the devil has been sending to him tonight. I rest my case on the Word of God. Let's all stand up. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you that the report that we're believing is your report. Thank you, Father, for your word. It's real. And so we're preparing our hearts for the day of trouble. When you said, when you've done all, stand. Thank you that we're putting on the armor of God. And we're going to praise you no matter what's going to happen. I don't care what trouble we have today. So we're going to praise you, Lord, because your report is what we believe. I'm going to be okay. She's going to be all right. Oh, thank you, Lord. You provide all our needs. I'm not going to be afraid. I will not shake under the trouble and trial. Thank you. Thank you. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We worship you because you are God. You are awesome. You're our mighty God. Thank you. There's no problem too hard for you to solve. There's no issue for you that's too complicated for you to solve. Thank you. Lord God, you have a better plan than I had all my life. There's a better way out of this situation. So thank you, Lord. Your way is always the best way. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you. Oh, go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and thank him. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. Thank you for the witness that says I'm going to be okay. Oh, I'm not going to listen to my head. When bad reports comes, I'm going to push it out. I'm not going to let anything deter me. I'm not going to let a bad report and negative image in my mind to appear. I'm going to push it out. I'm going to replace it with the word, the good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You said in your Psalms, you said in your word, in Proverbs 12:28, you said in my life, is my pathway is life and there's no death. Thank you. You said with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. Your word says with my stripes you are healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you lead me and guide me and watch over me. I thank you for the blood of Jesus covers me. And the enemy cannot overtake the blood. It cannot penetrate the blood. Your word says they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word. Oh, hallelujah. 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 For the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that your word says that he that's within me is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, when you leave here and go to bed tonight, sometimes, you know, for some folks, the devil is huge in church services. When he goes home, he's about that small. Just go ahead and take a big God with you everywhere. He's bigger. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? All right. We'll see you. You're dismissed.